Welcome to City Club of Eugene's November 16th, 2018 program, What Are the Schools Up To in CTE? This is the 11th program of our 2018-2019 programming year. I'm Joel Corin, president of City Club. You can become a member of City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We have both business and in-kind sponsors. Our diamond sponsor is Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the community we serve. More information at www.kp.org. And our Sapphire sponsor, Palo Alto Software, for more than 20 years, Palo Alto has had a commitment to educating and empowering entrepreneurs and small businesses. With their headquarters here in Eugene, they are best known for LifePlan, a lean planning software. More information at paloalto.com. Today's program, What Are the Schools Up To in CTE? CTE is Career and Technical Education. The coordinator for today's program is Mary Layton. We are honored to have with us today the superintendents of the four local school districts. Tony Skirto, superintendent of Lane Education Services District. Gustavo Balderas, superintendent of Eugene School District 4J. Chris Parra, superintendent of Bethel. And Bruce Smolinski, interim superintendent of Springfield. We could, again, take up the whole program with reading these guys and girls' resumes, but we've decided not to do that. Tony will introduce the speakers a little bit more fully. Tony, the floor is yours.
So I'll start with an old story. This plumber shows up for a house call, and he does his work and presents the bill to the house owner as he's leaving. The house owner looks at it and says, "Wow, $300. I'm a doctor. I never got $300 for a house call." And the plumber says, "Well, I never used to get $300 either for a house call when I was a doctor." So that's an old story, little intro into the world of career technical education, which I believe all of us may have some notion in our head when we hear that. Our goal today is to try to maybe bring about whatever perceptions you have into reality or bust some myths with some misconceptions that you might have and look at it globally, but also look at it as it exists in Lane County. From the Lane Education Service District, where I work as the superintendent, we serve the 16 school districts in Lane County, and not everybody knows we have 16 school districts. The three largest were represented here today with their superintendents, but we've got school districts from all the way to Oak Ridge, out to the coast to Florence, the Siusla School District there. Districts run in size from 4J, our largest at 17,000, to Mapleton, which I believe has 139 students this year. So our job as an education service district is to serve those districts in four main ways. One, through special education services, two, administrative services, three, technology services, and four, school improvement services, and career technical education falls under that umbrella of school improvement. So with that little bit of introduction about Lane ESD, I'm going to let each of the superintendents tell you a little bit about their district and what high schools are in their district before we get deep into the CTE part of it. So Chris Parra from Bethel.
Hi. So one of the things to recognize, too, is that the school districts in our county get small really quickly. So, for example, Bethel is the smallest of the, but we're considered one of the big three, but we're half the size of Springfield. And so in Bethel, we, like a lot of the rural districts, we have one comprehensive high school, and that's Willamette High School, and I have Mindy LaRue here, principal at Willamette High School. And then we also have Kalapuya High School, which is our very small alternative program.
Hello. In Springfield School District, we have about 10,700 students, and we have four high schools, the two comprehensive high schools, Springfield and Thurston High, and then two alternative high schools, Gateways and the Academy of Arts and Academics.
Thank you. And in Eugene and 4J, we have our four local high schools. We have South Eugene High School, North Eugene High, Churchill High School, Sheldon High School, and we also have our International High School, which is a school within a school model at three of our schools, as well as our Early College and Career High School. And we serve roughly 17,000 kids if you count our five public charters.
And we have some guests we invited to help us through this. So occasionally we may need to lean to the audience, and the audience that we'd be leaning to is over here. Kevin Harrington is the director of CTE in the 4J School District. Mindy LaRue is the principal at Willamette High School. Shireen Vogel is the CTE coordinator at Lane Education Service District. And Dave Collins, the assistant superintendent of the Springfield School District. There are experts, so when the questions get real technical, we'll be looking over there to get the answers. We're going to do a little format here. We're not going to all take a certain chunk of time and talk. We have some topics of general note that we want to get out there to you in advance of what your questions might be. And the first one is just a general question about kind of what is career technical education? How's that different from what many of us, including myself, experienced when we went to school, that old vocational tech programs? So I'm going to pose that, and then whichever superintendent is ready to volunteer an answer, would be glad to welcome you up to answer.
So vocational education, I think a lot of people remember back when you were in school, if you took vocational education classes. I remember taking a shop class, and also they used to call it home education, which is cooking, back in the day. So it's changed dramatically just because of the fact that with technology infusion in the workforce of today, it's very different than the workforce of yesterday. So if you go take your car in right now, and if it's a newer car, the way they do diagnostics is a lot different than they used to do it 30 years ago. And I drive an old car, so that car is done very differently than a 2018 model, for example. And just the need to be able to do auto tech differently, and I know that we don't have an auto tech program, but Springfield does, it's very different. The way it looks like in Eugene, and actually in Lane County, and with Elevate Lane County, which has done a phenomenal job, it's the Connected Lane County program that Tony maybe can talk to about later. It's really connected the 16 school districts that make up Lane County and trying to have more of a unified program in terms of CTE, which makes a lot of sense because we don't need 16 manufacturing programs in the county, but we need a few really strong ones. So that's something that under the leadership of Tony Skirto that we're doing as a county. So with that, we're focusing on computer science, health occupations, and manufacturing, and really doing a deep dive here as a county. Nationally, manufacturing's really taking a dip, but not in Lane County. It's actually spiking a little bit in Lane County, which is positive. And we're working to try and enhance our local programming, again, in those three main areas right now.
I'll take a stab also at answering my own question, too. One of the issues with the old voc tech is you sometimes had instructors of those classes, I'm thinking of an old woodshop class perhaps, that would link up with a local contractor perhaps, and that contractor may influence some of the work, but that was probably rare. It probably was a woodshop class that stood alone. There's a real strong connection now with any CTE course and industry. And that's a requirement for a course to be certified as a career technical education course. The other thing that we think of, and my joke probably didn't help at the beginning, is that we think of career technical education as kind of the trades, right? We think of hands-on, trade type things, but they're not all the traditional trades you think of. We are actually working on career technical education program to create teachers. There's an education pathway that we're working to put out there. That's not necessarily what you think of as a hands-on trade, but it's a profession. Also, health sciences and health occupations is a career technical pathway. The main thing is that connection between what kids are learning and I think the relevance they get and what they could be doing with a career. It doesn't just mean career only without college. It could be college and career. It's important that those are together.
A couple of points that I would add. One is that the vocational programs or the trades that we had back when I was in high school, which was a long time ago, was, I think, more limited. We are definitely preparing students today for careers that were in existence then, but we didn't really think about preparing them in high school for them. Health occupations is an example of one of those. The other thing I would say that I think that we're still missing, that when we were in school, middle schools, I kind of consider it that missing middle. We used to have pretty robust middle school CTE programs. I know that when I was still teaching at Lincoln Middle School in Cottage Grove, we had Woods, we had computer science, we had metals, we had lots of shop and pre-CTE courses happening in middle school. And then as school funding became much more scarce, those went away. So middle school is still, I believe, a pretty huge need. and I consider that that missing middle in CTE.
So the kind of the next topic to delve into is one that I think got a lot of attention during the last election campaign, and it's something that we've known and we've been putting this out there as a fact for a while. Students who are involved in career technical education courses, if they're on the pathway and they've taken more, I think two or more courses, tend to graduate from high school at a much higher rate than those who don't. I think the Lane County statistics for graduates overall is right around 73%. Last year, those students who were the CTE concentrators graduated at a rate, I think it was about 87.5%. So a significant difference, and that's consistent across years and consistent also across different regions of our state. So the question is that posed to our experts here, is CTE the answer for increased graduation rates?
Just to give you some, just an example at Springfield High, or Thurston High, the statistics I can remember that, just to show you, the average graduation rate in Thurston High is a little over 80%. The CTE kids is over 90%, so you can see. And then to answer the question, is CTE the answer? And I think it's one answer, because there's more to it than that. You will get a higher graduation rate when you have, I think, a better CTE program. But it's part of it's one part of comprehensive strategies. I'll use the example that I think all kids need a hook to stay as when they get to high school, to stay in school. Some of you, it may have been sports that kept you going. For some kids, it's CTE classes, and that's why it's going to help with some things. Others of you, it may have been academic things, and that's part of Measure 98 that talked about the whole program, where it talked about not just CTE, but also with college ready and college availability to get college credits, and appealing to all sorts of different kids. So I think CTE will really help our graduation rates, but I don't think it's the only answer.
And that was Bruce from Springfield. They got the name tag right there. This is Gustavo from Eugene, and to Bruce's point, and we've been really thankful for having high school success dollars, Measure 98 dollars, to help augment our programming. That's a big push through the state, and in Eugene proper, in Eugene School District, we get $2.5 million to augment our CTE programming, which has been a dramatic increase in terms of just not only staff, but also the equipment to be able to have programming. And as Bruce was saying, it's about the hook. And for kids, it's about student engagement. And really, it's about engaging every kid. In Eugene, where last year 89% of the students graduated, they took two or more pathway programs. The year before that was over 90. I think it was closer to 92%. So, and it's about student engagement. And I'm gonna politicize a little bit here. It truly is about engaging kids. And And I'm a big believer, we start early and focus dollars, not only at the end, which is high school, but also in solid pre-K, preschool programming, grade 1 and 2 and 3, and have kids really be ready to engage in their learning. That's gonna make a difference. And that's a more of a long-term goal for us as a system.
Yes, I completely, Chris Parra, Bethel. I completely agree. I think the other way that we, it's one answer to increase graduation rates. I think if we think more upstream, we go all the way back to not just kindergarten. There's a great statistic that shows that attendance in kindergarten is a really good predictor of high school graduation and high quality preschool programming as well. So thinking much more upstream, it starts before kids even come to school in terms of their trajectory towards graduation. I think also third grade proficiency in reading is a really big indicator. And I think when we talk about community efforts in stabilizing families, we know that we have a housing problem. We know that we have a significant number of students, and that news just broke in today's, was that just today's paper, the number of homelessness in among our students, and that is something that is significant. And if you don't know where you're staying every day, every night, it's hard to know, or it's challenging to get to school. So community efforts at solving those problems, is also another way that we can help get kids across the stage. And then I also want to speak to what you were talking about, Gustavo, in terms of engagement. That engagement and that relevance doesn't just happen in CTE courses. And so I wanted Tony to talk about externships. And you may have read about that in, I'm not sure if it was in the newspaper. I know that it was covered in the media, though. And do you want to talk about externships and highlight some of those positives?
This is Tony again from Laney SD. I've got to remember to say my name here. I'm going to talk about those in just a minute, Chris, because I'm going to segue into that with another question. And this question is about implementing career technical education programs. What are the challenges that our school districts face in implementing them? We can talk about the virtues of them and the relevance and that, you know, engagement, but what are the challenges? Why don't we just do that? And then how are we also working as a region to overcome those challenges? We're going to create them and then overcome them. Okay.
Bruce Smolniski from Springfield. Couple of challenges, and I'm sure the folks will say a few more, but there's always revenue issues, but I don't want to talk about that. There are a couple things that come towards us. Number one is we have incredible partnerships with some folks in the Springfield Chamber of Commerce, where we're trying to do apprenticeships and internships. And we have challenges with that from that prevent it, I think, from being robust as we'd like it to be right now that we're working on. That is BOLI laws. And sometimes the kids can't use all the tools in some of these positions, and it's frustrating. So that's a challenge that we're working on with some of the agencies to help us there. Students that are under age 18 as they're trying to do internships. Another challenge is, of course, I'm sure you've heard it before, is we don't even know the jobs that kids today will be filling in the future. And so we're having classes and doing things about jobs that don't, or trying to prepare kids for jobs that don't exist. So the partnerships that we form with our agencies and our businesses are crucial for them to keep us informed about some of the things. And when the jobs change, the equipment and the things that they require change that schools need to keep up with too. So that's some of the things, and I'll let the others talk about others.
So a big piece is having the right teachers in place and having the lack of teachers. I'm sorry, Gustavo Balderas again. Thank you, Mary, for the reminder over there. Is having the right teachers in place. And we can't be teacher specific. We have to be program specific. What I mean by that is, we can't have that great teacher develop a program and the program start to die and fail because the teacher leaves. That's not a sustainable model. So trying to have a system, school district, in which it's program specific. So if we have an outstanding health occupations program, for example, that health occupation program is set and it's a system-wide. So we hire to that program. Instead of trying to have that, and we do have all-star teachers, just have that all-star teacher there, but the all-star teacher retires, and all of a sudden the program starts to fail. And I think we've all seen that in programs, or in maybe in your own workforce. So one of the goals also is to align and articulate, meaning that right now we're looking at, for example, coding and starting programming. We're looking at maybe an immersion model for technology in terms of starting a K-6 technology immersion program in 4J, and how do we articulate that all the way to middle and high school? Because the workforce is needed for the future, and having the basic skills, just computer technical skills, to make sure kids are more fluid in their learning as they go through the middle and high school courses, so.
Chris Parra, Bethel. So Tony, this was some of the challenges of implementing, is that right?
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm on the right question still. I would also say space is an issue. So if you think about a school district the size of Bethel with one comprehensive high school, we have under one roof among the most CTE programs in place. So it's really hard for us to actually further expand without some sort of capital improvement. Mindy's done a great job in rethinking her space, transforming labs into classrooms, but Willamette High School has 12 CTE programs under one roof, plus IB, full IB program, International Baccalaureate, and advanced placement courses. So all of that is under one roof. So expanding becomes more challenging. And so Tony's going to talk about this further, so I'm going to get off the stage.
Thanks. This is Tony from Lane ESD again, and I do want to come back to what Chris asked before and bring up our Elevate program. Connected Lane County is our regional achievement collaborative. We have them kind of under our umbrella at Lane ESD, and Elevate is one of their programs. Those of you that saw the paper this morning know that Elevate won the Innovative and Talent Award from the Register Guard for Champions for Youth, so they're doing excellent work. If you most of your tables, I think we distributed a few pamphlets, and Elevate has put these pamphlets out. The pamphlets actually are about a connection of students to certain career paths. And I think there's food and beverage, there's a tech sector, and I think there's also a construction aggregate one that might be out there. So one of the big challenges is to connect the industry and the teachers, and we're doing that in several ways. There's also a map we've put on most of your tables, and there's not enough for everybody, but there's a big map of the county that shows where our career technical education programs are, and I think there's like 75 of them in the county. And so each one of those is required to have an advisory board, and on that advisory board is supposed to be business and industry experts to inform the work the teachers are doing and keep things relevant. That's a lot of connection for business and industry. So I think right there's a huge challenge. So to attempt to overcome that, we've got Elevate working on trying to coordinate those. We've got Lane Workforce Partnership working on trying to coordinate those. Shireen Vogel in our career tech department at Lane ESD is trying to not only expand those CTE programs, but bring them a little closer together in some regionalization. And that's not simple. The good thing in Lane County is the three biggest districts, the leaders of these districts, get that notion. It would really be a bigger challenge if, for example, Gustavo at 4J said, hey, we got our programs here in Eugene, don't worry about it. You know, you guys take care of yourself. Thankfully, that's not happening because we will need some connection with their big programs for some of our little guys. And the technology sector has already kind of regionalized their advisory board. So those technology programs you see spread out throughout the county, there's a connection there to one regional board that makes it easier. The other thing I'll say is that those instructors of those courses are not simply out there waiting to come to work. If you are an expert in some of these fields, you can command a lot more money out there in the field than you can command in front of a classroom teaching kids. So there's a challenge in that. We don't have a different pay schedule to pay more, so we're still looking for those people that want to earn a steady income, good benefits, and have a heart for what they're doing with kids. And those people are out there, but they're not all certified to be able to teach for kids. That's another challenge that we face. And so when Chris brought up the externship program, this is a wonderful Elevate program, a wonderful Elevate idea, where teachers who are certified as teachers but want to teach CTE courses but don't have enough industry experience to get that certification. It's not just a teaching license. You have to have industry experience to show you've got expertise in that area. The externship program takes teachers from those courses who want to do this, hires them at businesses in the summer, in business and industry, to go work for 2 weeks, 4 weeks. Again, the best sector was our tech sector, where we had teachers go out for four-week externships, learn exactly what those folks were doing on the job and bring that back to their classrooms. There's a strong connection with that. That externship program started 2 summers ago. It expanded last summer, and we're just now starting to do some planning for this upcoming summer. I think there's some real possibilities there. We've got a grant at Lane ESD that we partner with Portland Community College, because it's not only the teachers who need industry experience, it's those industry folks who want to get back into the classroom but don't have the teaching license. You can do a kind of an emergency thing, but to make it permanent, they've got to go through some pedagogy courses and other things, and we've got a grant that's one of the cutting edge ones in the state helping with those folks. So a lot of good things going. Plus, I think another flyer has been around there, Oh, The Places You Will Go, that Mary and Shireen are co-teaching on that is a real good example of that connection. So we're working to overcome those and trying to look a little more regionally at these programs if we can.
Chris Parra, Bethel. One of the other things that I wanted to mention about why it can sometimes be challenging to build a CTE pathway, and one of that is funding, which is one of the reasons why the Measure 98 funds are so incredibly helpful. And I want to give a shout out to Joy Marshall here, who's a huge champion in this work, and so appreciate that. But when we think about CTE coursework, we really are trying to meet industry standards. So think about what Bruce was talking about in an auto shop. Think about the equipment. And when you talk about space, think about where are you going to put some cars for kids to work on. So when you need to get the same type of software, hardware, equipment, and technology in general that industry has in place and replicated in a classroom, that is a huge lift. And that's one of the reasons why it can be so challenging to, even if you have a staff member who's ready to teach it, sometimes having that upfront money to purchase all of that equipment, and then over time, sustain that equipment, because we know how fast technology changes, and we're not always able to completely update that as much as, say, a LCC or U of O could update their equipment or their technology.
Tony, again, from Laney SD. Kind of, I guess where I'd like to wrap up our portion of the presentation before we take the questions later is about that Measure 98. Again, that was a bill that funded career technical education, but I don't know if everybody's aware that it didn't only fund that. There were also two other buckets that school districts the size of the three here had to invest in. One of those was dropout prevention. Another one was, I think, college coursework, readiness for college coursework. Smaller districts, for example, Mapleton, only had to pick one of those. So the big three here had to do all three. And Measure 98 was not fully funded by the legislature. I think it was about around 55% funded. So there's money out there that we were hoping to get. I guess my question in here is to kind of see if any superintendent would volunteer what direction they would go if that were fully funded.
So we would look to expand our current program and to make sure we have access for more students. And the space, Gustavo Balderas again, but the space concern that that Chris Parra from Bethel mentioned is very real on our campuses. And also maybe looking at more hands-on programming, because I know there's can we do auto tech, for example, on our campuses and have it be specific to one of our campuses in 4J? That's an example we would do, and that does cost a lot of money. So these programs are not cheap. And some things that are happening that I'm seeing across the country, and I spent some time in California where there's a bit more dollars historically for career technical education programs, is how do we provide these programs additional dollars to impact more kids, especially at the younger level, as has been mentioned before, and at the middle level, but also at the upper elementary level, just to have them have more experience. Because what you'll see with students that have additional programming at a younger age, they get more specific in terms of, because of their experiences, in terms of what they're looking for. So instead of just saying, I want to be an engineer, because maybe mom or dad or significant other up top of guardian's an engineer, they're more, what you'll see is they're more specific in terms of what type of engineer they want to be, because they've had more experiences growing up the pipeline. So,
Bruce Smolniski from Springfield again. The other things I see important in Measure 98 is the dropout prevention part, and the stressed in there are things like chronic absenteeism, and some of that I see connected with the CTE because it's what I call the habits of mind. It isn't just the skills the kids learn, but we try also when they begin in school and through the middle school, talking about habits of mind, coming to work every day, coming to school every day, and there's a campaign, every day counts, and teaching those things as well as coming on time, and some of those things that go along with it that are part of this that we're also working on. And so I see that as an important part that goes with the CTE. We also, again, I'll give a shout out to the Springfield Chamber. They do stuff with our middle school kids about job awareness and about learning about work, and they do mock interviews or things where kids learn how to speak and communicate well and what they have to know. And then you go into the high schools with learning for work with some of the CTE things, and then hopefully we carry it through for learning through work with apprenticeships and internships. So stop there.
So I think we're just about out of time. So the last thing I want to add, again, is this is a pitch. And we don't get Measure 98 money at the ESD level, but where we're going is to look to our leaders to find those connections in these programs where a kid from Mapleton doesn't have less chance at any of these programs because they live in Mapleton and they go to school there. So can the doors open up in some of these programs? It sounds like it should be easy. It's not. There's a lot of red tape involved. And also, where can we even have some of these programs that might be those spaces that industry and business partners can help us with those the equipment? We're about ready to launch a study in January to take a good look to see how we can more regionalize this. We've got the right people in the room, the right people leading districts that understand that when we talk about our kids, it's not just the 4J kids, it's all our kids in Lane County and beyond. And I'm very thankful that they're here, very thankful that we've got our experts over here who are going to be working really hard on that in the coming months and years. So thanks for that.
Thank you. We do have a first questioner today. The first question will be asked by Paige Sharp, Program Manager for Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce. Springfield Chamber recently joined a team of sponsors of originated by the City Club of Eugene, in which K-12 teachers learn about Lane County's economy and employment opportunities. Paige has helped us identify industries and teachers that teachers will visit this winter. Paige is a strong advocate for community development through programs promoting education and small business development. Paige?
Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here today. My question is, can you provide some examples of how you've actually integrated industry recommendations and their input into some of your CTE classrooms and courses?
So what we've done, we've had the industry partners come in and do walkthroughs through our facilities and provide input in terms of what type of equipment and what type of programming should be involved, because again, that alignment is not only K-12, it's really K through the workforce to make sure that we have the right product. And again, it's tough to teach a student with equipment that it's not real equipment that they're gonna be utilizing out in the workforce because it's dated. So that's one thing that Measure 98 dollars has been really, really helpful for.
I've got one, and this is, I didn't bring this up earlier, but it's a matter of equity. So I'm thinking the technology folks were really interested in diversifying their workforce. And we had predominantly things that went on that attracted a lot of white males. And so they've decided, let's do some after-school kind of programming. Well, guess who showed up? The white males again. And so they really wanted to have more females involved and more diversity of race and ethnicity. So the industry has recommended launching computer science programs, not in middle school or high school, but actually down in elementary school. So we've got, over 15 elementary schools that are making that part of their regular programming so kids, all kids, access it. And then from there, those that have the interest and talent can go. And we think it's going to make a big difference. So we took a recommendation for the technology to do that.
I'm going to have Mindy LaRue come on up and answer this question much more deeply. But I think something to, by the way, Chris Parra, Bethel, is to recognize that our teachers work hand in hand and provide or get professional development and internships like mentorship through industry. And so that is something that is fairly seamless. You want to come on up?
Mindy LaRue, Willamette High School. One thing we have done is partnered with Eugene Chamber of Commerce, and we had a meeting a couple years ago where we invited students to come after school, and a whole host of businesses came as well. It was so powerful because the businesses then were telling our students, you know what we need? We need students or employees who show up to work on time, are dedicated to the job, are sometimes willing to take a lesser job than what they really want so that they can work their way up and show kind of their fortitude and their work ethic. And so for us to be able to partner with the local business industries, it was really powerful for our students to hear that from future employers. And so we've created and added into our CTE courses soft skills, what we call professional skills. It's showing up, not being on your cell phone, you know, all the things that make a really good employee, but it's something that we teach and reinforce in CTE.
Now another member from the audience.
Kevin Harrington, Eugene 4J. So specifically, Paige, to answer your question, we've had industry come in and look at our construction technology class, for example, and talk about how do you look for safety in the shop? What do you do? How do you form a safety team or a safety committee? How do you go through that process? And then really bringing in something that happens in industry every day where you start your shift talking about safety and then looking for potential hazards, that same thing happens directly in the classroom because of industry connections. So that's just one example.
Anybody else? Okay. I recently met with a past president of City Club to talk to him about how to improve City Club. During the course of the conversation, he talked about how one of the things that he enjoyed most at City Club was the table discussions, the opportunity to talk to the people across the table, to formulate the question, to learn their attitudes and ideas about the topic at hand. So as we break for 5 minutes, enjoy that. Talk to the people at the table, get their ideas. We'll break for 5 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening. You're listening to the City Club of Eugene on KLCC. We're broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. We're also streaming online, and you can find the City Club programs on our website, klcc.org. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
Before we begin our questioning, I would like to thank some of our both sponsors and in-kind sponsors. We'd like to thank KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6:30, and Community Television of Lane County, cable channel 29, for televising recent programs. We'd also like to thank our gold sponsors, Evan Elders Brown and Subert, Gatos Churnside and Balthrop PC, Dr. Sandy Ybarra, Hearing Associates, and special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM, Dot Dotson's Photography, Pack Info Simplified. I remind you that we have a number of people in line, so please keep your questions to a minute. I have my timer and my bell. So first question, Jerry.
Jerry Smith, City Club member. When I was by the time I got to the fifth grade, I'd already had a couple of years in the 4-H, and I had an entrepreneurial business that made money for me selling chickens, that sort of thing. I had other projects as well, including growing food that sold and went to the family. At that time, there was welfare for families. It's dead. There is no welfare. People talk about it all the time as if it still exists. But there is no welfare for families with children that really exists. So you have homeless children in all your schools. What can they do to work? You know, at this time of the year in my agriculture district, I would be processing turkeys to go to the market. What can kids do through the school system that put them not at future work, but at work right now?
Thank you. 59 seconds, Jerry.
So we have Chris Parra, Bethel. We have a couple of different ways that we have done that. We have Kalapuya High School that has a number of work experience and paid work internships that are available to our students, and many of them work year-round. We also have, through a CTE, a revitalization grant through the Oregon Department of Education, we have a great after-school program for eighth grade, and what we built into that program, which will be sustained in future years, because that's just a one-year grant, will be sustained in future years through Measure $98, because we can use 15% of our funds, 15, not 50, 15% of our funds in eighth grade. And we have high school students who are coming down to our middle school programs and being paid to work in those after-school programs alongside an instructor in robotics, culinary, and digital design that are programs that feed directly into Willamette High School. So those are just a couple of examples.
Next question, please. Jack?
I'm Jack Dresser. I'm a retired psychologist and behavioral scientist. Right now, I am very much involved in education and advocacy and political levels. And one thing I'm most concerned about is in our educational system, all this emphasis on a job, all this emphasis on a particular discrete role as opposed to education for citizenship. And what I see is there's an enormous ignorance in the American public about geography, about history. Everyone I know who grew up in another country knows a lot more than Americans do about what's going on in the world. And I'm particularly concerned about kids who are just directed out of high school into a career. I mean, I can imagine having made such a decision in high school, you know, really. And who then are lost to the world, lost to the educational system. I wish people were being trained to think and to question and to gather information independently and so forth. That's what we need.
There'd be a question there, please.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the school system is really looking at this. Are you really looking
Thank
at
you.
This and addressing it?
Thank you.
No, I think we are, and I think one of the things, the beauty of it, is I think we're correcting ourselves. I think in society, I think the pendulum keeps swinging in education, and everything keeps circling back and forth. 30 years ago, we had vocational education programs and quality schools. Measure 5 hit back in the 90s and took a lot of that away. So the pendulums, but we focus so much on just core education. And we know full well that not every student of the 17,000 kids I have are going to go to 4-year universities. I know that. We all know that. So what skills can we provide our students and opportunities to engage more students so they can complete high school? And who would not want to have a student that's an AP, advanced placement calculus kid, but also is taking auto shop? Being hired by that auto shop as a practicum student, as work study, as they go through and having, again, the goal, I think, for education, and this is me speaking on my platform here as Gustavo Baldera's superintendent from 4J, is my goal is to have students have the opportunity to have a choice when they leave high school, when they graduate from high school, to see what direction they want to pursue and define their own success.
Next question, please.
Beth Giroux, City Club member, and I think my question actually builds a little bit on what Gus was just saying. When I was in high school, elementary school, there was a very sharp demarcation between vocational ed and an academic program. And if you were on one, you weren't on the other, and there was a perception that those kids aren't able to do what we can do. And I think that still persists a bit in our community in that I hear even educators speak to vocational classes as opposed to career technical education. And so my question is, how are you working to dispel that myth? And I think your handout that you have that shows the different paths that a student can take if they're in a health occupation or food and beverage production, the different paths that they can take. So how are you dispelling that vocational label in your schools and in our community to ensure that all students are valued for whatever program it is that they determine they want to do?
Thank you.
Kevin Harrington, Eugene 4J. So I think one of the ways that we need to do that is talk about career, and we want everybody going into a career. And education, whether it ends at K-12 or at the junior college or at the university or at the master's degree or at the PhD level, is just a step in the process to where you want to wind up in a career. That's just going to be your entry point into a career, right? So if you need a PhD to enter into what you want to do, great. If you need a certificate from Lane Community College, fantastic. You're entering into a career, and that's the whole goal. And it's not... To address a previous question, it's not directing kids to a specific career. We're talking about things like problem solving, critical thinking, working together. So these are skills that are transferable no matter which career field you wind up in. You ask all of our students in our programs today, you ask the kids in the culinary class, they're not going to be chefs, one or two. There's 165 students in that program throughout the day. They're going to be biologists. They're going to do other things. This is just the hook, as was mentioned earlier, that gets them involved and engaged in education. So some are going to head, they're going to find out exactly what they want to do in a program study and head that direction. Others are going to find out what they don't want to do, and that's just as valuable.
Can I just, Bruce Smolnitsky from Springfield, and I also just, I mean, the state of Oregon requires 24 credits, and you taking CTE doesn't get you out of the number of language arts and math credits and social studies across the board. Those students are still going to get a variety of different classes and things they can be exposed to. So CTE really, in many ways, is an elective, if you will, and so they'll still get a well-rounded education and the other requirements.
Avi Naiman, City Club member. Thank you for sharing your information about CTE and the fact that it's improving high school graduation rates. But high school is a means to an end, preparing our youth for citizenship in the world, whether that's social citizenship, raising their own families, or careers. What are you doing or planning to do to track how well CTE is making a difference, whether they continue on to 2 or 4 year colleges or directly into careers, to see how the programs that you're offering now are or are not making a difference in their lives, and then how to correct going forward?
I'll give this, Tony from Laney SD, I'll give it a stab. Part of it is we do a pretty good job keeping track of our K-12 students. They're in our system and we do that. We haven't always done a good job of seeing what happens once they graduate from high school. We lose track of them. They become adults, they move away. That is changing. We are seeing more of a statewide focus with our higher education partners on being able to track our students, and we call our students LCC students too, and U of O's. We're doing a better job of that. And CTE, I think there's actually some evidence we have, and I've got it in my pamphlet. Connected Lane County has been studying that as well, so we can see that if somebody's been in the CTE program, what are their chances of being moving on into, let's say, a four-year college, and how are they doing there? We're doing the same with just regular graduates, too. It's just we haven't perfected that, but we've been working on it, and the state's actually working on a longitudinal, on a bigger system that'll connect it even more than it is now.
Yeah, hi, Fred Roberts. What about young people who might want to be professional and creative musicians, writers, artists, actors, actresses, dancers? What is CTE doing for them? Especially because often that's something that people have an image of, and not necessarily an accurate one, quite young. Thank you.
We also have phone a friend. If you need to, you can call somebody at home to answer the question.
David Collins, Assistant Superintendent for Springfield. We've been fortunate in Springfield, even when they had fiscal impacts, to really focus on arts. So we've got a fairly robust music, performing, and other arts opportunities, and that is one of the pathways that we promote in the opportunities that exist currently within our system. I would also say that it's also integrated. I think what may be lost in translation here is that these are not standalone opportunities, that these are integrated into other core subjects, and we look for cross-content alignment so that students experience multiple experiences and application of the skills or topics that we're talking about.
Chris?
So I'm going to bring up Mindy LaRue to help with this as well. So one of the ways that we also have taken our CTE programs into the modern age, or we've essentially taken some of the arts and sciences that we have and we've redeveloped them. So Mindy's going to talk about, for example, our arts program that was very, very traditional, looked very much like the program that I had when I was in school, in high school, which, remember, was a long time ago. And it's now a graphic arts program, thriving, that gets hundreds of kids through that program and is one of our most requested programs. So, and go ahead, Mindy, and talk about the arts.
So we used to have it's called graphic arts now, and students are able to create images, change them. They get really into doing that. And so we have, for years, had over 900 course requests from our students. Everybody wanted into that program. So with high school success funds, Measure 98, formerly known as that, we were able to add a whole nother program, or bolster that program. It's not another one, but make it deeper so more students have opportunities to participate in that. We also have, you remember Tony Skirto talked about the three buckets for high school success. We added IB music, jazz studies. We also have IB drama. So there's a lot of crossover. So they're not three distinct things that we're doing, but they're integrated and supporting students. And we're always gauging where our student interests are and making sure that we're meeting that need.
Okay, hi, I'm Wayne Parker. I'm a member, and the question is, can you elaborate on how to develop career and technical education teachers in programs?
Hi, this is Shireen Vogel, CTE Regional Coordinator at Laney SD, and I'm going to discuss a little bit on the teacher side first. Essentially, there are two avenues a potential teacher can come from the classroom. So they've been a traditional teacher, let's just say teaching math, and they realize, wow, I would really like to become, you know, I have had some experience in construction, I see the value, I'd like to become a CTE instructor and teach in that construction program. So there is a way to take that instructor that has the teaching license and actually work with them. They need to gain hours, career-related hours, and there's an instructor appraisal committee, and they have up to 3 years to develop the skills needed and to get licensed as a CTE instructor. The same applies for somebody that would come from industry. Same process, is just from the other end. So they have all of this industry experience, but they don't have necessarily the teaching license, right? So for them, the lion's share of the work is going to be developing those the education skills and taking a series of coursework. There are about 8 courses that are required. So it's kind of like teaching ed program on steroids. And they also have up to 3 years to accomplish that. There's an instructor appraisal committee, and I'll just say real briefly, that committee is made up of the key components, the folks that are really integral to providing guidance for that instructor. It's a representative from the post-secondary side, generally from Lane Community College. You have industry partners, so we try to recruit 1 or 2 folks from industry that can help guide that teacher. And then somebody from the high school administrator, myself, all these folks are around the table, and this is sort of the guiding committee that helps this teacher, whether they're coming from the classroom or they're coming from industry, help them to become a successful teacher in their program.
Kevin Harrington, Eugene 4J, and it's the same programmatically. So when we talk about the difference between career technical education and what we used to call vocational education, we're talking about a series of classes versus what used to be maybe one class. So you're looking anywhere from 3 to sometimes 6 classes that develop through an industry sector. It has to be aligned with a post-secondary partner, usually at the community college level. Locally, almost always Lane Community College, but other colleges as well. There has to be alignment with industry, so you have to have input from industry, not only in the development of curriculum, but also in the professional development of the instructor. So there are some different and deeper things than what we used to refer to as vocational education. Also, it all has to be approved through the Oregon Department of Education. So you can't just start a program on your own. There's an application process, and it's got to go through that process.
We have 1 minute for the last question.
Well, you're preparing them, and it sounds like you're doing a great job, and you're really getting kids to be involved in their education. But what about further education? I just spoke to a doctor. We have an extreme shortage, especially here in medical doctors. And when a doctor tells me he really struggled to get through school, it cost him, he's $500,000 in debt as he ends his education. Not many people want to face that. And my son was in the hospital and couldn't see a gastroenterologist. They didn't have any. So in August, they gave him a November appointment. And when you're in pain and collapsing, it's pretty hard. And I know too many people that just can't get a doctor. So I was wondering, is there something we can do so they can really look at a further education?
Quick answer, please.
Yeah, that's a Lane County concern. I sit on a Trillium CCO board as well as the Peace Health Community Board, Advisory Board, and that's a concern that we talk about with every physician that I communicate with. That's a concern in terms of trying to get professionals here and trying to get professionals in, not only in this county, but in the state. So there's a shortage of nurses. I mean, when you talk to people, there's a shortage of nurses. You want to get a nursing field, you have a job. So how do we do the work that we're doing here in terms of trying to really build up our health occupation corps, for example, to be able to align the work that we're doing in our school districts with Lane Community College, the University of Oregon. And again, our goal is to be able to have our kids be able to stay local if they want to be local and be able to articulate that work all the way through. So thank you.
Thank you. You've heard what about the program, Oh, the Places You Will Go, what Eugene, Chamber of Commerce of Eugene and Springfield, City Club of Eugene and Springfield, and Lane Workforce, Lane ESD are doing. There's a flyer on your table. If you know teachers, give them this folder so that they can learn about the program. Next week, there will be no program the day after Thanksgiving so that you can recover from tryptophan and football. On November 30th, we have a program on what did we learn from the 2018 elections. December 7th, we have the special membership meeting and a program on the decline of print journalism. And December 14th, we have the annual gift to the city. We also, you will be getting a newsletter sometime within the next couple weeks describing all the blockbuster programs we have in January. Now, I do have one concern as we get close to the end of the year. My concern is that you folks may not have a big enough charitable contribution. And we stand here ready to help you. We will accept any charitable contribution that you want to make to improve your tax position before the end of the year. So now, if with all that business taken care of, can we please give a big round of applause to Tony Skirto, Gustavo Baldaro, Chris Parra, and Bruce Malinsky. Thank you very much, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving.